eye.
Gave not sin. And Jesus is asking, it gave her time to change and be straight. The Bible doesn't condemn gays. A lot of you think it does. Well, that's a problem that's going to be dealt with. What I'm kind of interested still is, you know, we need to go outside. We had a wonderful weekend, didn't we? And I'm referring to Memorial Weekend, probably a month ago. And you notice we had a couple of good, nice, clear blue skies, at least for a bit. And then did you notice what happened? The government jets started crisscrossing. And these are lots of real distinct exits. And they crisscross and crisscross all day long, day after day. And as Christians, what do? Nothing. We may look up and say, oh, clouds or something. How many of you even consider what's going on in the sky above you here in Seattle? Let alone the rest of the world, because this is going on everywhere. It's been going on for even decades. It started back in the 80s, basically. The late 80s. The early 90s. But we don't care. We don't want to know. I mean, besides, the government would never hurt us. You always want to know a sign. You hear about these quack sites, oh, conspiracy theories and all this kind of stuff. And yet, right in front of your eyes, you can see something that demands an explanation. And we don't care. We hear about UFOs, you know, and only people that really can know for sure are the ones that saw it. And of course, we that didn't see it will say that this guy's seeing things or something. It's crazy. But the guy that saw it, or the person that saw it, knows what they saw. I can say to you, I've seen FEMA camps because I, you know, drove a car, went there, walked around, took pictures and everything. Saw the little buildings that had the, not little actually, they had huge rail garage doors that roll up. It's big enough that you could roll a rail car into it. About six of them, six of these doors. And then the other side, you got six more so you can roll a rail car in and then roll a car out. And you got these smoke snacks up there and all that kind of stuff. The conspiracy theory part about it is that these are gas stations, as it were, and the rail cars that are pushed in are cars that have shackles on them, and the people in them are all shackled up, and they push them into these little buildings, big buildings actually, turn the gas on. They don't even have to take them out because these box cars are designed to be prison cars with vent holes in them, so all they have to do is turn on the gas and then roll the car out to the place you're going to bury them or burn them. Then roll the next car in. You know, this is a massive operation, but you call that a conspiracy theory, but what you can't call Quacko or something like that, is that they exist. The building is there. The fenced-in area that can hold even upwards to hundreds of thousands of people in some of these camps exist. Because you haven't seen one or cared to look a little bit longer at some of these fenced-in areas you might be driving by on the freeway. But, you know, put aside all these things that lots of other people saw, here in Seattle, there isn't any excuse. Everyone of them that is listening to my voice right now has seen chemtrails. Now, how you explain it to yourself, it must be absolutely amazing, you know. I mean, maybe there's not a whole lot you could do about it, and maybe you kind of know, you know, the government's poisonous or doing something to us. But generally, for practical purposes, you just say, well, you know that this is happening to us. Not much we can do about it. It's just one more thing that's happening that's bringing in the last days. But as a group, as a church in Seattle, we can do something. There are people that can do something. You know, there's a lot of Christians. Some of them are in high places. So Some of them have got lots of money. Some of them got lots of influence. Some are in the city. Some are in the, you know, even in FEMA. There's lots of Christians. There's pastors that's gone through all kinds of school and everything. They can tell you. How often has your pastor talked about those chemtrails you see up in the sky? I bet you none of them. I bet you go to church and the pastor never tells you about what's happening in front of your face. The things that are happening in front of your face is going to make you think that man over there is Jesus after all, and the Jesus you're looking into the book at, that you call a Bible, must be a liar. Or somehow or another, we just didn't understand the book that we're reading, and we need that man over there to tell us what this book is, and the mistakes or the wrong interpretations we're having. The deceptions are coming, and many are here. And one of the deceptions is the Bible. Did you hear me? You go into a store, and you see the Bible section. Go in a Christian bookstore and you see the Bible section. And you get all of these versions of the Bible. And what do you think about Bibles? What does your pastor say about Bibles? What your pastor says is obvious. You go in church after church after church, and there they are. Their multimedia presentation. Whatever version that happens to sound sort of like to emphasize the message he wants to bring. See, the pastors tell me this. They say they don't need God. They don't need to pray about it. They just choose the verse they want to use to present their message. But will they tell you any kind of information about where that Bible came from? I know what we hear. I've been to church, you know. I've been saved 32 and a half years, something like that. I heard it all. I know about what generally we're told about modern translation. We're told, generally speaking, the Bible, an A here, a the here, and, you know, that's about the extent to the mistakes or corruptions it may have. Nothing big. Just something kind of little. It doesn't take anything away from the actual Word of God. This is what we're told. And we open up these modern version Bibles and we read the prefaces. And it, boy, it sounds like it's just some hunky-dory, boy. It just, you know, these people really put their sweat into making this wonderful translation into modern English. And you just say, look at that, this accreditability, that accreditability, and so forth and so on and so on. Everybody says how good this particular version is and all that, and that's all you want. You know, hey, you know, that's good enough for you. Why should you take time to find out anything else about the Bible or Bibles? You think Satan's sitting back there doing nothing? What does our pastors tell us? He's a counterfeiter. He wants to be like Jesus. He has the five or seven I wills. I will ascend. I will do this and that and the other thing. We're told often in kind of prophecy types of things that he wants his, as it were, false Christ. He wants lots of different kinds of things counterfeiting Jesus. You know, when the people tell me about when I say, you're reading the counterfeit Bible? Well, God can protect his word. He wouldn't ever let it happen. God is in the business of letting it happen, people. All kinds of stuff happens to you. And a lot of it ain't good. God is in the business of getting you ready for eternal life in Jesus Christ. And one of the ways he does it is make things that ain't so nice happen. And then we have the facts of real life. We have 2,000 years of Christianity, and we have this, that, and the other thing that's happened. You can evoke the name of God all you want. these terrible things happened by these terrible people, and they happened, they did them to Christians. Besides all the terrible things Christians did, there's a history that went before, and God set up a time scale that Satan has to fit within. He can't overstep his boundaries of permission that he has to do things. So no matter how much, as it were, Antichrist kingdom wants to start now, and we always like to say that it's already, there's nothing left to go and everything, why is it starting? Well, God's holding it off for a reason. There are certain things. Yes, there are certain things that no matter what, you know, somebody wanted to push a button today, they can't. If somebody actually was in a room with the buttons to push to start a nuclear war, they couldn't. As they start to touch the button, their hand would wither away because they can't. It's not time. Now, if it were time, they could push the button. But only the right buttons, because only so much damage is allowed. You can't have complete annihilation. It's just not going to happen. You can't have a devastating flood again. So Los Angeles isn't going to be a bunch of islands and you got to tie the boat up in Idaho. It's not going to be that way. The conspiracy theories got something wrong about the United States when they say that generally it's going to be depopulated. No, it's not going to be depopulated. This is where there is some elements that Antichrist can't do. He could do a lot of it. There's going to be masses, millions and millions of people relocated, sent to prison camps, executed. Some areas are going to be depopulated, and so forth and so on. But people, you've got to understand things. Chemtrails is a deception. It's a cover-up. I guarantee you, if you go call any of the network's weathermen and ask them about these chemtrails, you'll start to hear a hesitation. You'll start to hear, and you'll get some kind of thing, except what it really is. You say, have you ever called the military and asked them why they are circling around Seattle in the area? Why is it necessary that they make X's in the sky? Why is it necessary that they crisscross, sometimes they go in circles and everything, and fill the sky? Why is it necessary? What are they doing? And you can go to the website, you know, you can all kinds of stuff. You got the one side that says the government's actually giving us vaccines, you know, because they're afraid of the biological warfare, so they're kind of, without our permission, giving us vaccines by raining down vaccines down onto us. And there's other kinds of things of doing things that are basically on a good kind of idea that you can find. However, when you type in the web, what do you get? Do you get one source? Do you get two sources? I mean, you're going to call it conspiracy theory or something. Why are there tens of thousands and millions of pages about chemtrails? Why are there so many credible sources? You know, do you care to even look? And there's photographs all over the place. And you people here in Seattle, you don't have an excuse. You can see it. This is not SeaTac sending airplanes up, circling around the mountains over there and coming in, or circling around this way and coming in land. This is not how it works. Contrails don't happen all the time. Certain weather conditions, certain temperature, I think, then out comes the back of the jets. Water vapor that extends back a while and then dissipates completely because it's water vapor. It doesn't go back very far, so you could watch a jet go by and sometimes you can see that, and the contrail behind it isn't all that long and it disappears immediately. There's a big difference. And usually those are the commercial airplanes going around. There's a certain pattern. They're going from Vancouver down to Portland or something, so you can watch that, and they have a distinct sound. Yeah, we've got a military base here. Yeah, they might be practicing flying, doing all their kinds of stuff. Why in just the last 15 years? For the last 10 years? Why not 30 years ago? Why not 40 years ago? We had jets. Why suddenly that they are, and do you care? Nah, you don't care. You don't want to know. How's your flu going these years? A little bit more nastier than usual? One of the most consistent things about the chemtrail types of thing, see, when you watch them, you can actually see them come out, and then they spread, and they rain. You know it's kind of like rain, because you see clouds that rain, and you can see it coming down. These chemtrails are these long, skinny things that got wider and wider and wider, and then you see these curly little things, and it's coming down. So whatever is in those kind of chemtrail things, it's falling to Earth. What's on Earth? You're on Earth. Your kids are on Earth. Your vegetables and plants and dogs and cats are down here, and the birds. So what are you doing? You're breathing in. What are you breathing in? What they're pouring out of those chemtrails, whatever it is, and there is a consistency of what it is. The scientists and so forth that is doing this analyzation, the quackos that gets, you know, as much as you want to call them quackos, they got something. They really got something, man. They got that ability to search out and find. Boy, you know, when you get good on the internet, you ever watch Smallville? High school girl running the newspaper there. She could sit down that computer. Ever notice that? Click, click, click. She got the information on somebody. You try that. Think like that quick, but you can get that information. You got to click a little bit longer, and you got to, oops, wrong place. No, that's the wrong keyword. No. You got to do quite a bit of little stuff. You don't go, no matter how good you get, you're still going to not be able to get someplace as quick as some of these TV programs show you can get by searching the internet. But you can. You can search the internet. And you can find some of these types of things. It's plenty easy enough. And you can find that there are plenty of people out there that has credible methods of searching, has the documentation, has the scientific knowledge that are shown to you, because they feel in their heart they need to tell you what's going on, just that you won't listen. And they could tell you that, hey, back in, what was it, 1918, there was something called the Spanish flu. It killed thousands and thousands more than, you know, it was a bad deal. They kept some of this virus and they modified it. Now they're starting to sprinkle us with this stuff. This stuff they're putting in us, it causes stuff to catch into our lungs. It works as causing us to have a really good incubation chamber for otherwise weak viruses that normally would not be able to get into you and make you sick. So what they're doing is creating an environment in your body. So then they could start doing however it is that they do it through vaccine injection. You know, you have flu shot. Let's go get the flu shot. Hey, everybody, we don't have flu shot. We're short. You know, the lines line up, you know. Oh, and somehow we finally get the flu shot. So the lines come. Hey, it finally turns out we get all the flu shots we want. And then he would, hey, come and get them. We got plenty. Kind of interesting how we could start not having anything, then suddenly, you know, oh, this whole batch been tainted. Can't use that now. Tainted? The vaccine been tainted? That's the explanation we're going to have from that. That's kind of, you know, don't you want to think about it?
Why?
What's going on? Is there more to it than just some crazy people being paranoid? Or is the plan to create deception, because Satan is the great deceptor, the great liar, and he is bringing forth his kingdom, and we're getting closer and closer to his kingdom, so you're going to see the manifestations of his deceptions.
Some deceptions are well long planned, like the Bible. 2,000 years ago, the corrupt version was made. You had the good version, which is called the received text, Reptus Textus, or anyway. And from that, because it's technically all the same books and everything, same verses, all that kind of, the corrupt version. You know, it's kind of interesting. You want to check your how wonderful your modern translation. Oh, look how it sounds. This verse sounds really good. Yeah. Do a little test. There are sites out there that will compare verse to verse. You get a nice book here. It has a lot of mushy gushy stuff about Jesus. How he's God. You know how all this kind of divine nature of his and his godness, his son of godness, and in Christ Jesus and all that. Then you compare that with the new version. Then you have the list up there. You have what the King James says, and you have what the new version say. And it's kind of interesting. You see, oh, here's the nice cute little phrases. But it's almost like they, at the comma, they ended the sentence. Because in the King James version, you have the continuation, comma, and the notation of the godness of Jesus, the Christness of Jesus, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in Christ Jesus, through Jesus Christ. So all the kinds of things that add on to Jesus. Modern versions kind of cut that parts off. And as you go down there, you get sicker and sicker. But then, you know, another neat thing when you compare the Bible version, if you're a really good, wonderful Christian, love Jesus and everything, you start falling in love with the King James Version all over again because you look at the extra parts that makes Jesus so much the Savior and Lord that you know Him to be. So you read the modern version. What's the modern version? You know, we're good at getting conditioned. You do something a long time and you're conditioned and we exercise, we get really good. Finally, our muscles do that. You know, you know, one thing, kind of interesting point. I had a job in hospital and these great big 500-pound rolls of linoleum on a hand truck. It was kind of awkward and everything. You know, a couple of months later, you know, every now and then I see one of the other employees climb up one of these poles. You know, these shelf racks, and metal racks go way up high, and they just grab a beam like that and skinny it up like you see they go palm trees, you know, just with their feet, and go up there. You know, after you wheel these things around for a while, that's how it is. It's like you're on an elevator, and you climb up these trees. You get conditioned. If you're told something, like we're told gay is sin. So we all we know is gay is sin. And then when we read any kind of scripture, all we can see is gay is sin instead of what the scripture says. The new version Bibles, modern version Bibles, there you're reading it, and your brain's getting conditioned. And you swear it's the Bible, you believe it's the Bible, but you're getting conditioned. And then Antichrist can come in because you're all conditioned. He started back in the 15th century. He brought it up to the public because it got hidden from 2,000 years ago till about the 15th century. Then Westcott and Hort got a hold of it, and they converted it and translated it over to the Church of England Bible. And then finally, Israel became a nation. And what do you think happened? Now we can have modern versions because so that generation won't pass away. So you could be conditioned, and then the deceptions can be introduced that man over there is Jesus after all your conditions. They accept that. And you don't even know. You don't have a clue what I'm talking about. If you don't know Jesus right now, turn to Him. Say, Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God and that God rose You on the third day. Forgive me my sins. Simple prayer gets you saved. Now ask Jesus to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And you'll speak in other tongues. Get ready, people. See you next week.